lot about a place called Super Duper Weenie in Connecticut. I have friends that live in Connecticut, Alex and Steve, and they invite me over to their house one night for dinner. Now, what comes rolling down the driveway for dinner but this, the Super Duper Weenie wagon? I'm telling you, I did some great field testing, and that's what brings us here to Fairfield, Connecticut, to the Super Duper Weenie World Headquarters.
Awfully pale, and that's coming from a pale guy. You can tell when they use makeup to make people pale,
mm-hmm.
instead of just being naturally pale.
Well, let me ask you that: do you feel like, as a pale actor, that if other actors try to play pale characters, it's offensive to you?
Yeah, of course. If everyone else gets to claim it, then I get to claim it too. Use real pale actors. Look at you, Twilight sons of bitches. Listen, I love Anna Kendrick, but she is not pale. I don't know, what was she, a vampire? Or a werewolf. I don't fucking
know. Anna Kendrick?
Yeah, wasn't she in the Twilight, glittery Twilight books?
Bro, that is a big case of face blindness.
Are you sure?
That is Kristen Stewart.
Are you sure? No. And I'm not talking about the main character. I'm talking about some side character.
Oh, well, she may have been.
I wasn't going to be playing Taylor Lautner or what's-his-face Robert Pattinson. I wasn't going to be one of those. I was going to be one of the pale off-brand dudes in the background. Like, hey, who's here? Like
during the Jets and Sharks fight between
werewolves
and the vampires.
I would have been like one of the dudes in the background. And I guess Taylor Lautner's fine because, again, he was a werewolf, right?
So
he can be tan. Again, all the vampires where they're glittering them up and stuff. And what does that have to do with being pale? First off, maybe that's a vampire thing. Maybe I'm conflating the two.
Wait, what? Back up. You're moving 1,000 miles an hour. What's going on?
I'm talking about all those glittery vampires in Twilight.
Yes. What about them?
They were glittery.
Okay.
I found that confusing.
On what grounds?
On the grounds of why are vampires glittery?
Because it's cute. Would you fall in love with a disgusting, like cold, stinky, corpse pale girl, no matter how hot she was? Let's say, for the sake of argument, Anna Kendrick.
I'll always love Anna Kendrick. She's a delight.
Okay, so her.
Have you heard her sing?
We've all heard the Cup song.
Okay.
Just top notch stuff, Vic. Great. Great as always.
So, I have nothing. You can be tan or pale. Although that is something that I
thanks for the permission.
When they're like, wow, you are super pale, which is something I hear at the beach a lot. I'm like, thank you. I know. It's my body.
See, and you don't look very pale in here, but maybe that's because it's a yellow light bulb.
Yeah, probably.
And you absorb ambient color.
I'm like Superman with colors in indoor rooms. Don't put me in front of one of those like funny green lights because, I look like the Hulk with none of the definition.
You're just blending into your surroundings like a chameleon.
Oh, thank God you're here, scrawny Hulk. Does anyone have, I got to keep my blood sugar up.
Hulk anemic.
Someone have a cookie for Hulk?
Just a very, gray-green Hulk.
Yeah. Hulk should not be winded like this.
Hulk scared what next 2 years look like if this bad now.
Yeah.
Hulk wrestling with own mortality.
Oh, my God. Did Hulk get COVID? Hulk have lung damage. It's really depressing.
Did we ever tell the people that we saw Eternals?
I don't know if we did. I think we might have. We must have told them.
Can I?
Because we had to get that off our chest because how great it was.
Can I do a very quick review of Eternals?
Do it.
It sucked.
That's it?
That's it. Yeah, don't go.
It wasn't very good. It was chocked full of fucking famous people. I think that's the thing nowadays, especially in the Marvel universe. If you're introducing new people, they have to be famous, right? And you have to make sure that in these movies, you show people from other Marvel movies so that you know that the universe is involved, that it's all connected. Super important.
Here's the thing. These tremendous actors and actresses who take parts, I'm thinking specifically of Angelina Jolie in this Eternals movie and Nicole Kidman.
Angelina Jolie clearly was like, I haven't acted in a very long time and no longer give a shit about this, but this is a bunch of money. And
I think it's different. I think it's definitely about the money, and I haven't moved my face in a long time, which is a problem. But Angelina Jolie is a good actress. So is Nicole Kidman, who did famously did Aquaman. They are great actresses. And you know
how
not
I
know?
Those things, though.
Because they have to deliver the most soul-crushingly generic, shitty dialogue.
Okay.
They stand there. Their faces can't move. Little fucking saline drops will plop out of the side of their eye to convey emotion. And they say horrible, stupid shit. They wear their shitty plastic-looking costumes. And they collect a huge paycheck. It's beneath them, and they know it, and we know it.
Mm-hmm. I just wish the writing was better, I guess, is what I want. I want the writing to be better. Why isn't the writing better? They're getting billions. They're making billions of dollars. The Marvel, like the whole franchise, is making Disney. So why not get better writers?
Because you try to do something that's inherently stupid, like Eternals introduce like 14 main characters. Give them all backstory. Give them all motivation. It's also an insanely complicated mythos, the entire Eternals thing. The exposition in this movie alone
is intense.
It's
well, again, it's one of those movies that starts with like the long ago, you know, and they run through the whole thing.
But it wasn't even a good Galadriel voiceover. Like, that's an iconic voiceover. The one from The Lord of the Rings that Cate Blanchett does.
Sure.
Perfect. They didn't do that here.
Well, when you're like, we need to explain at least 100... if not 150 pages immediately at the beginning of this story.
Yeah, this movie would be 5 hours long if we didn't do this 1 2.5 minute painfully slow crawl.
Yeah, because it works with books, but it doesn't work so well when it comes to movies. We have to pick and choose, people.
It was awful. It was just awful stuff. Yeah. I'm giving it 2 thumbs down.
2 thumbs way down?
Way, way down.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It still can't be. In a lot of ways, like there's still like if it was like the kind of thing that I saw later on HBO for free, I'd probably watch it again or I'd watch it for the first time.
But that's faint and damning praise. Like, yes. Marvel shouldn't be psyched that that's your reaction, which is tepid apathy.
Yeah, sure. Of course not. It was a big swing and a miss. It's one of those ones where it makes you go, OK, they had somewhere to go from here. Where do we go from here? Are you gonna make the next movie better? Because they've had pretty average movie. Like, Thor was kind of interesting the first time I watched it, but when you go back and rewatch that movie, really not that, not good. And you're sitting there going, okay, but where are you going with this? And they make Thor 2. And Thor 2 is really not very good. It's a pretty bad movie. And you're sitting there going, okay, but are they going somewhere with it? Because Thor is in all, you know, he's in the Avengers movie and some of those are a little better, even though they're like super fucking long, the first Avengers movie. And they make Thor 3. And Thor 3 is actually pretty fucking good. I enjoyed Thor 3. It's campy. It's weird. There's some stuff in it that I don't care as much about. But I enjoyed it overall. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that makes you wonder, like, would we ever gotten that far if they had just canceled it the first one? Are they going somewhere with these movies is what I'm saying? Like... Is there going to be a sequel to the Amazing Eight Douchebags?
That's a great question. It didn't do well. Usually the critics will come out and just be like, yeah, we loved this movie. Captain Marvel was life-changing. That's the thing. I hate talking about Marvel movies because...
This is your fault.
We talk about them like they matter at all.
This is your fault. No, because this is... They matter in the sense that these are the popular, churned out films of our generation.
I hate it.
It is weird. It's the superhero era. It has been since they did the first Spider-Man movie and they got him up there walking on the walls and everyone was blown the fuck away by the CGI of it all. Once that happened, Pandora's box opened and out poured a fuck ton of superhero movies. And the most successful of them was the Marvel franchise, which will go for fucking ever until they connect the X-Men into the people we know like Iron Man and blah, blah, blah. And they'll introduce other universes where it's new people playing characters that we saw other people play 5 to 10 years ago so that it can go on forever. Disney has found its new Mickey Mouse. And it's a lot more diverse, and that works. And that's what they're going to run into the ground until people hate it so much they stop spending money on it, which may never happen.
I don't think, if anything, Kevin Feige's nuts might be edging closer to the chopping. God damn it, dude. I fucking hate this so much.
Well, we don't have to talk about it anymore. What else would you like to talk about? Yeah, I know you hate Marvel because again, it's
I don't. And the thing is, I don't hate Marvel.
Well, it's just so homogenized.
I hate that it's got all of the space in the cultural zeitgeist. Oh, look at this dank Iron Man meme. I'm like, I should find you and kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're on the same page about that. The fact that it's become such a cultural thing, but then so much of everything is. Everything's a joke. Everything's a meme.
And it's not that like, it's not like, oh, you're stupid for liking Marvel and communicate. You're allowed to like it. It's just the fact that it's all there is. Yeah.
You're just
like,
having a hard week is what you're having.
No, I'm just having a hard life.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And you can't, yeah, no. You can't say anything because people will call you a hater. I don't want to be called a hater.
Well, you're just frustrated by the thing that is like average at best that generates billions and billions of dollars.
They are the MSG of film, movie, cinema because you consume the movie and then at the time you're like, wow, it was really good. And then it leaves your system. You watch it again on HBO, as you say, and you go, yeah, okay, I'll probably never watch this again. Because you see it the first time and the bloom is off the rose. Mm-hmm. They have the lowest rewatchability factor of any movie I've ever encountered. And I have a bunch of them on DVD, and that's a shame.
Even Doctor Strange?
Especially Doctor Strange.
Now that hurts. That one hurts. I like that Bramblethorn, Bumble Snatch.
Bramblethorn Cabbage Patch?
He's great. He's delightful.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's great in the Avengers movies. Infinity War? Great stuff.
Sure. It's a great entertaining thing that in no way is particularly clever because it was already all done for them already. Like that's like tying it back to like Game of Thrones, right? You know, and what a massive letdown that was. That was something that if they had waited to do it until like George R. R. Martin had finished the whole fucking thing, I would argue, and they had the entire source material to work with, would have been one of the greatest stories, you know, that HBO, I mean, it would have been Sopranos good. It would have just been in fucking credible. But that is one of the examples of them being like, we know where it's going. We know what the story's supposed to be. And we have no fucking clue how to write it. And they just get impatient and fucking just destroyed the fucking thing.
Well, big Game of Thrones spoilers inbound, but I contend that it honestly would have disappointed everybody no matter what. If it does in fact end, and George R. R. Martin says this is true, with Bran being the king of the Seven Kingdoms.
Oh, well, that's such a shitty fucking thing.
That's such a letdown.
Well, it's a massive plot hole, too, because he gets back to Winterfell, and they're like, oh, well, you're the Lord of Winterfell. And he's like, I can't be the Lord of anything. I'm the Three-Eyed Raven. Like, this is what I am. And then later they're like, okay, so let's make him king. And he's like, what?
Because he can only make logical decisions. He's like an AI king. It's really cool.
And like, he'll do what's best. Who knows the history of Westeros better than this guy? I don't know. Why don't you guys like have a council and let him raise the next king or something, or be an advisor, or why don't you rule by like some new system?
He should be Ciri. He should be Janet from The Good Place. Yeah. Like,
but you made him king. And I was like, wow, that's, you know, and maybe like, I don't know. You're right. That is kind of like a lazy after. I think you could still have had a great like climax to the story. And the aftermath could still be lame if they had done it a little better than they did with all that, like, Daenerys just kind of forgot about her biggest threat. They were just out there, and she just kind of was like, whoops, we're out at sea. This is fine.
It hurts my heart. It hurts my heart because you see a perfect piece of art like The Sopranos, and you're like, the blueprint is there.
Yeah. Well, and again, and they had, we're specifically talking about the creator, like Benioff and Weiss, those two motherfuckers. They had all of the resources at their disposal. And I think that they probably ran into a big problem with HBO, who went to them and went, okay, we've set a specific amount of time for the turnaround on these, so you better get these scripts fucking in. And instead of them being like, well, we could, you know, make these like, because again, I'm pretty sure they were on all fronts asked to do 10 episode seasons still for the last couple. And they're like, we're going to do 6 and 5 or whatever the fuck they ended up doing, or 7 and 6. And they just jammed all the fucking story in as much as they fucking possibly could, and then just kind of turded it out. Like they could have expounded on a lot of that stuff with like Daenerys going mad and slowly like losing the people who are most important to her, like the, her most important friends at these moments. And you could have really shown the cracks forming in the interim of these moments happening. But instead it's sort of like bap, 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 bap. Tyrion's dumb. They make all the wrong decisions within the course of like five episodes. She's crazy. She kills people. It's over. And you're just kind of left being like, fuck. A show that, and I, you know, we talk about all the time. So I'll shut the fuck up after this. I promise.
Work How I Met Your Mother into here, and we'll have hit the fucking hat trick.
Don't get me started. I just blew up everyone's ears.
You sure did.
I'm sorry. Don't get me started on How I Met Your Mother. Fuck. Fucking show. They spent entire seasons being like, this is why what Eddard Stark did was fucked up. This is why what he did was wrong, and this is why he deserves to die. And so when it gets done, you're like, I'm sad. I'm really sad that they killed him, but I get why it happened. And then they get to like the last three seasons. They shit it all into a plate and they hand it to you.
Complexity dies in darkness.
How does that make you feel?
In the shade of the money tree.
This all makes me feel depressed. This was Thanksgiving. This is after Thanksgiving. Or else just be happy. We're heading into the holiday season. It's darker every day, just a little bit, and the world gets a little more bleak.
What are you thankful for?
Absolutely nothing.
Seems like kind of a cop-out. You got to be thankful for something.
I'm thankful my parents didn't succumb to COVID. And we're all alive for another year in this terrible world.
Interesting. I thought you were going to say you were thankful for moist, flushable wipes.
Oh.
Does it seem like a fella who goes through about a pack a day.
Those are flushable? Oh, my God. You think if I, say, were to pour an entire bin of them into a toilet, that the toilet would be able to take that, or should I take them out one at a time? Because it also feels like a lot of work.
Yeah, I think at this point they're probably nice and dried up, and you could just kind of...
They're not. I've been leaving them in a pile out back, and it's been snowing. So they're going to be hard and crusted, and then when I bring them in, they're going to get damp and smelly.
Here's the thing. You 100% should start wiping your ass with wet wipes and leaving them outside to freeze.
Just make a football field of them.
Just paper your parents so that when that's the snow disgusting. Melts in the spring, it's yeah. just a bunch of shitty wipes.
Well, it's like that's what they do to trees out in the woods to make sure like you don't poach trees for Christmas. They douse them in fox urine
mm-hmm.
so that when you bring them in, they smell fine until they get warm, and then you just smell fox pee, and it's like disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. I assume it'd be the same thing, except after they find the wipes, who'd be crazy, like, we got to get these inside. I guess it's not the most amazing example.
Your dad just mows over them.
That's lovely. Yeah.
Okay.
Like flushable wipes. I'm thankful for flushable wipes.
I just wanted to hear you say it.
I know. So I thought I'd get that. I thought I'd get that out of the way for you.
That's awesome.
I got to figure out what to get my sister is what I got to do. I got to figure out what to get my sister for Christmas. It's always a tough struggle.
Well, so explain to the listeners what you guys do.
Well, we have a contest where we can spend $5 on the other one another. It has to be. It can be two things. Doesn't have to be two things. And yes, they can be stolen, which was funny when we were like 16, 17. But now that I'm in my 30s, it's a little bit more difficult to steal things and have it be impish and whimsical. Like when I was 18 or so and we stole all the straws from every fast food restaurant within the tri-state area. For weeks, and I got her like 10,000. I got her a lifetime supply of straws.
I hope she held on to those.
I don't think they did.
That's crazy. That's every straw you'll ever need for the rest of your life.
It was so many fucking straws.
That's crazy.
It was so many fucking straws.
Jesse, if you're listening, that's crazy.
Yeah, so many straws. But we got ourselves like each other weird stuff like that. One year she got me like Russell Stover's chocolates, but it was all ABC gum instead of stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I liked that she got me a nativity scene one year, except instead of it was all dinosaurs.
That's a good one.
Instead of that was a good one. I think that's still in my room somewhere.
That's that a fun, nice. Festive thing that you can put out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The chewed gum, not really.
Mm-hmm. No, not so much.
But the dinosaur nativity set, nah, that's good stuff. That's a good gimmick.
I got her a sign one year that says she was adopted. Like a nice, like a road sign. I had to find a place to do that. Yeah. So yeah, we fun stuff.
Should we brainstorm ideas?
Well, I'm trying to think of what to get her this year. I have no idea. It's going to be hard because last year I got her $5 worth of change off the floor in New York. So I had like a long time to do it. Every time I see like a change or anything on like the subway or like in a park, I'd put that into a baggie And then I gave it to her on Christmas.
You're a germaphobe. You were handling all of these floor coins in NYC.
It's not like I did that and then put a sandwich in my mouth. You know how disgusting New York is anyways? You have to like make some concessions in life.
Sure, touching things like the pole.
Yeah.
But you willingly picked up change on the subway.
Not just the
subway. Might I remind you that at the end of the night, they douse those things in urine? Fox urine?
To make sure no one steals them? That's true. That's absolutely true.
They get nice and warm.
I mean, again, I saw people pee up themselves on the subway. So
there must be an economy in New York City that just sprays the subway system with piss.
There was a guy who developed a system for sucking the grit out of between the sidewalk in all of Manhattan. And he did that for like several hundred bucks a week for a long time because so many little things got lost in there and he figured out a way to sort it out. And got a lot of gold out of it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I don't know if he does that anymore. Again, this was like the 90s, I think, or maybe 2000s. I remember reading a crazy story about it being like, that's fucked up. That's crazy.
That's crazy behavior.
That's crazy.
That's almost as crazy as throwing away 10,000 straws.
Yes.
In a world where you're expected to provide your own metal one or a wooden one.
I had a metal straw for a while, and then that company let me go, and it's still sitting in that office. It's still sitting there because guess what? My stuff never got sent back to me.
What other cool stuff did you leave?
Like a coffee mug and like a company sweatshirt, which I really want.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then there was the book with all of my passwords in it. Pretty big deal. All my corporate passwords, not my real ones.
Oh, fuck.
Which were just, I can't even remember what they were. They were, I think at the time, again, it was before Game of Thrones ended, so they were all like based on like random quotes. So that was fun. Someone gets to find that. They're trying to get back into the system.
That's why you should always, always, wherever you work in your cubicle, leave one weird item. Just in case you do get fired or the office closes down, give the person that's boxing up and sending the possessions back just one weird thing. It can be anything you want. You can bring a lot of creativity to it. Me, stillborn fetal mouse in a milk chocolate bottle.
Oh, I was going to say, in like a perfect resin cube. So it's just like perfectly displayed.
No, there's nothing genteel about this. It's just a stillborn mouse in a bottle.
Don't ask me how I got it in there. It's just a shot of you squeezing a pregnant mouse. It's, aw. That's so sad.
Ah, jeez.
Just in time for the holidays.
But they would know when they saw that, they'd go, we absolutely need to give him all of his stuff, including this, immediately. Because that guy will come back here and kill everybody.
Well, that was the most depressing thing I used to do at my old job. Because, again, there was not a high turnover, but there was turnover. And they were just like such a shitty place that when you got let go, they wouldn't even let you go back to your desk. Like, if you were up and about, like, they would bring you to a meeting room. And then you'd be like, well, let me just go grab my coat. They'd be like, we will ship it all back to you. Like, fuck, okay. That's great. Didn't matter, like, what you left at your desk. They weren't going to let you go back. Because God forbid you touch a terminal and do something that might endanger the company. So then they would give me that person's shit, and I would have to send it back to their house. So you'd be like, oh, that's great. They didn't let Todd go back and get this picture of their grandkids. That's great. Just, you know, it's a decent thing. He worked here for 30 years, but that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you keep a box of wigs in your desk. And one of them is not a wig. It's just a human scalp. You throw that one in
there. A little bit of skin on it.
Exactly. He gets to that one. Security guard gets to that one. They know you mean business. You get that picture of your grandkids back the next day.
I see. You just take a bunch of photos of you inside the boss's office, like touching various things. And on the very last photo, you have a picture of you, and it just has some writing on it. And it just says, if you want to see the rest of the pictures and what I did with the objects in your office, then you will double my severance.
Immediately. See, here's a tip for people that are getting back into the workforce.
Just
your first day, show up and perform a satanic ritual in the break room. I'm talking like making a pentagram out of salt and robes and a chalice of blood and an offering to Baphomet. Or,
and if they try to fire you over that, you have claim.
No, that's what you say. You're like, I have cast a spell on this place, and it is called religious persecution. And if you try to fire me for any of this, I'll fucking own this company.
Yeah, it's true. Technically. I imagine going into a place and be like, no, 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 I'm a practicing Satanist. Like, just drinking really thick red concoctions around out of your Nalgene.
Just a shaker bottle full of, like, the most viscous red shit ever.
Yeah. Just, like, having to wipe it off the side of your... Oh,
yep. Stinks like pennies.
You got those reports for me, Carol? All right, super. Oh, I gotta go to the bathroom again.
Your coffee mug is just a human skull.
Yeah, just, like, really weird, random. But I wonder if they're like, well, I actually really like Doug. Doug, he really gets his work done. He's a good guy.
He's got such a colorful personality. It's just you slaughtering a goat in the foreground.
Me.
You shall be an offering to Paimon.
So yeah, I mean, you never know. It'd be really crazy if corporate culture was like, oh yeah, as long as you're making us money, we don't give a fuck.
It's like a competition who can do the weirdest thing on their first day.
Yeah.
And that determines how far you move up in the company.
Just God forbid that you did something that, you know, as long as you're not doing anything that will... you know, be something that you can get called out for on Twitter, you're probably okay.
That's fair. Don't do blackface or something like that, for sure.
You're right. There's a line, folks.
Definitely don't do that. But I don't know. There's a lot of other opportunities there. There's a lot of room for putting your personal stamp on what your identity is going to be for the rest of your tenure at this company.
Mm-hmm. And remember, I mean, it's important, but it's not that important because obviously, knowing our generation as well as I do, you're only going to be there or want to be there for like a year before you move up to the next company because they're not going to give you a raise.
And eventually, your greatest professional skill becomes how good you are at making a first day entrance.
Yes.
Like one time you rode a horse in and it just got spooked and it kicked the copier to shit.
But then you also had like that, you know, some donuts, so it was cool.
Yeah. You fixed a little unicorn horn on the horse and hung the donuts off of it.
Yeah.
And they were flung around the room while the horse had a full-blown panic attack and kicked a hole through all the cubicles.
They smashed Mary right in the chest with her hoof, just back, poof, tried to come in to pet her. But you don't do that with a strange horse.
This thing
you don't
scared,
do it.
It's scared, it's pissing, it's shitting, it just
so
kicked
she
a lady.
She just got a fucking, oh, just crushed her chest.
Yep, now she's got a lawsuit.
Broken ribs. Not your problem, though.
No.
No.
You gave the people a tremendous first day impression.
HR, keeping them on their toes. Who works in HR anyways, folks?
I don't think people actually do work in HR.
Well,
I think,
the
humans
are
the resources.
I was going to say, secretly, that's the board, and they just want a better eye on their company. So, like, I work in HR. Dance puppets.
And they do. They all dress up in fun little outfits and pretend that they're drones.
Yeah.
It's like Undercover Boss.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. What a wonderful dream. So that's your first year, guys. HR isn't real.
Work would be genuinely fun, though, if the CEOs just and presidents just kind of like cosplayed as people who worked at the bottom rung and like tried to weave secrets amongst you. And you could do shit like bring a horse into the break room and have it destroy everything.
If it wasn't for massive amounts of like shitty regulation and red tape that every company had to get through, I bet companies would be interesting places to work.
It would be so much fun if you got to do weird shit like that, just doing bits all the time.
But then there's always the miserable bastards who don't want to see bits, so what of them?
They get a non-smoking section.
Let them work from home.
Sure.
Today's technology, everyone should be able to work from home. Isn't it a crazy fucking thing that there are people out there that have to worry about their keystrokes per hour or like the motion of their mouses and stuff so much that you can like buy devices now?
Yeah, a mouse jiggler. That's pretty keen.
There's somebody out there making a ton of money because they made mouse jigglers.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's great.
And they have like randomized movement and timing so like it can't be tracked to like yeah, well, it's really strange, Carol, that your mouse moved every 10 seconds for the next 3 hours on the dot perfectly. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird?
Right.
Instead, you know, it's like Dune and sand, and, you know, you got to move through the sand.
Who controls the mouse wiggler controls the universe.
Yes. So that's fun.
I like to think there are work from home employees at the mouse jiggler factory who use a mouse jiggler.
I go to the people who need that. Like you should just fucking quit because your job, like they didn't want you to work from home. Right. They clearly didn't. They don't give a fuck about you. And it doesn't matter if you can get your job done in half the time from home. They want you there staring at your computer, suffering 8 hours a day, fidgeting as if you have a fucking tick like Costanza in that one episode of Seinfeld. Just make sure you're moving. Make sure you're doing something that benefits the company. Like, I don't get how we haven't figured out that whole like all those studies that have been done with like, yeah, most people like do like 40 hours or 40 minutes of work a day. and the rest is them dicking off and like commuting in and settling in and talking to people. And we most people, like, you got an 8-hour day, you're probably doing like 2 hours of work. And we have people work from home and they can just pick what 2 hours to do that. They don't have the other bullshit distractions. They can make their own lunch. And our response is, you better get a fidget jiggler for your mouse to make it seem like you're still busy. Like,
but that's America.
We're never going to get better is what I'm saying.
That's America. Why? We make 7XL pants, man.
Why can't we get better?
We don't. We're not in the business of bettering people.
It hurts so much.
We're in the business of limping along like a dog that got shot and didn't die.
It hurts. I don't understand.
Why don't you just embrace it? Rory, what are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
Well,
there's nothing I can do. I'm going to start my own company where you get to work as little or as much as you want, and somehow we're still productive. You don't necessarily have to work for us. You can just log in, do some work. We'll pay you for what you do. That sounds like a fun company. I don't know what we would do. Maybe like watch batteries.
Yeah. Come and go.
Yeah.
It's just an online sperm bank.
Would it be such an interesting concept for a company if you could get around like not having a company that needed like proprietary information held within the company? So like people coming in and going could be like, well, Ron over here wrote some excellent code, so I'm definitely going to steal that and use it over at this other company. But like if you had something that could just be ran by people just stopping through wanting to make an extra couple of bucks for an hour, and you could somehow, you know, generate that, that'd be an amazing business.
They do have that. It's called a food truck.
No.
And they do tremendous business.
I can't just walk in and work at a food truck for an hour.
You 100% can. I would guarantee you in San Francisco, you could go up to like the groovy broccoli stock and be like, hey, do you mind if I work the grill for an hour? I'm like, far out, man. I'm going to go,
you're such a
I'm gonna go vape behind the dumpster.
Yeah, you're right. In San Francisco, they'd be like, you're going to steal my fucking van, aren't you? Get the fuck out of here,
no,
hippie.
They're like, I'm going to go look for a hate crime to stop. Thanks for minding the truck. And you're just supposed to make like vegan banh mi hot dogs. You
when
have
was
no
the last
idea.
Time you were in San Francisco?
Me?
Yeah, they're cynical bastards.
Not all of them.
They're that and they're tourists. You know what? The one thing when I lived there for a little while that I noticed was the shocking amount of homeless people that lived in San Francisco. I was like, oh my God, because for a city that like is supposed to give a fuck and be like so woke and progressive, there's a fuck ton of homeless people there.
No, progressives, like far leftists, trip over themselves with the whole, they really get tripped up by the whole homeless solution.
I guess.
There is just no will on either side to do a goddamn thing about it.
Because I tell you what, like there were more homeless people in San Francisco than I saw in Texas when we were down in Texas. A lot. A lot.
A lot. It's increasing everywhere. Burlington's fucking homeless population is getting pretty
that's really sad,
substantial.
It's very cold right now.
Yep.
That's. I wonder if it. Like, I always wondered that. Like, if I'm homeless, do I try to go south when it gets cold like this, or do I try to rough it out? Because I'm gonna be honest with you, I die. Like, if it's me, I die. Like, I know it. I'm dead.
No, you do go south. That's basically the plot of Midnight Cowboy. So you got to start fucking and sucking, and then you can meet a charming sidekick who gets really sick, and his whole thing is he wants to go to Florida. He has orange juice posters. He's just delighted by the concept of Florida. And as he lay dying, you put him on a bus, and you take him to Florida, and he pisses his pants. And he feels real bad about it, but he's kind of shutting down. And you're like, don't worry, buddy. We're going to make it.
Is this you?
But before you can get to Florida, P-Pants dies next to you.
Is this you?
He never gets to see it.
Are you P-Pants?
I'm willing to be that. Okay. I have to start drinking again.
So do I have a happy ending down in Florida then for me afterwards?
You wind up in Florida with your dead friend.
Were your pockets lined with money?
Oh, absolutely not. Oh. They were lined with resin.
Okay. Can I sell you for some reason?
You can get some for the jacket.
To science, sure. Perhaps? There's a Goodwill store nearby where we stop.
A butcher.
We're going to make it, and then it becomes Swiss Army Man, but in Florida. And no one questions a thing.
No, not a goddamn thing.
Yep.
You just go to work at the Orange Grove every day.
Quit eating those! As I eat them to fend off scurvy.
You're the only man in the world that ever got fat off oranges.
I wonder how prevalent scurvy is today. Do we have a different name for scurvy now?
I don't know. I bet you could find it in certain pockets of the third world.
Scurvis papillomis. You're like, oh, goodness. That someone out there like knows medicine. Like, no! Oh, interesting. No!
You just called the Pope a cunt in Latin.
Yeah, you son of a bitch. So yeah, I'm sure it does still exist. Yeah, that's true.
Scurvy don't just go away. There are probably people in the United States who have scurvy. I mean,
we eradicated polio. We could probably eradicate scurvy.
Yeah,
right?
But there's no will to eradicate scurvy.
Like, scurvy's not really a disease. It's more of just a deficiency that occurs. You get scurvy when you lack vitamin C, something like that. I don't know.
You got to eat your citrus fruits.
Got to get some citruses in you.
You just got to do it.
Like, see, it's tough for someone like me. I've got bad stomach. It's
so
all
you don't
so
like a
acidic.
Nice orange.
I would have like a slice or two of orange. I'd have some orange slices. Someone's like, here, crack into this lemon. Take a suck on this lemon. I'd probably have a hard time with it. Oh, it's so tart. Oh, everyone in their minds, just think of yourself just licking a lemon. But first, like, okay, first you take like the tines of a fork, the fork tines, and you really stab the shit out of that lemon. And you just get a nice, long, aggressive draw across the top of it. Oh, yeah. Ouch. That's miserable.
So you're not a fan of grapefruit either, I take it.
No, I don't. Again, the tart. I don't like pineapple either. It's super acidic.
Pineapple's so delicious, though.
It's so acidic, though.
Okay, but whatever.
It's like I eat it, and it's fine for a little bit, and then later on, I'm like, oh, my stomach kind of feels like, what's going on? Yeah, it's the pineapple. And the rest of my day is ruined.
You should enjoy it once in a while.
And I was having it, and we're at the cotillion, and now what am I going to do? Well, am I going to go back to around the corner, one of the Port-a-Johns, and just diarrhea my brains out?
People who are
like
lactose
walk...
intolerant eat cheese all the time.
What? I'm going to, yeah.
You have to live a little.
Yeah, and then they have a farty, miserable rest of their day. And everybody who hangs out with them in a small, confined space knows about it.
But the pizza was worth it.
And I sit there and
Domino's
I go,
Domino's ain't bad.
I'll be right back. And then I go, hot lava.
But you had a good time up till then.
Up until then, and then the rest of my day is me pooping. And then I walk out and I'm like, oh my God, it was such an aggressive stink. It's stuck to my clothes. Everyone's looking at me.
Can I give you a piece of advice?
And then you go through the rest of high school as Rory Poo Clothes. Doesn't that sound believable?
Absolutely.
A little Rory Poopy Clothes?
Yeah.
Oh my God, there's a chunk on his pants. And then you have to like...
You love poop. Do you realize you bring up poop like twice an episode?
You're welcome, by the way.
You got a weird poop thing going on. Yeah, I just got to say it. I feel like, yeah, it's
hey,
this is,
I'm gonna
this
have
is
to
your
keep
fat
bringing
girls
up,
thing.
When you keep bringing up Marvel, I got to keep bringing up poop.
Well, at least when
we
I bring up
We all have
Marvel,
our own things, weirdo.
At least when I bring up Marvel...
Look at you doing it
I'm
again.
I'm trying to start a discussion, a cultural dialogue.
Look at him doing it again,
Rory
everybody.
Rory just brings up poop because he wants to eat it or do that thing where you take someone else's shit and put it up your own butt.
You don't know.
Help your gut biome. I don't buy it.
It's called a fecal transplant, and it's supposed to be good for you.
It's a fetish.
Okay, look, mister, I've got an amazing gut biome over here. Piece of shit.
Eat enough fermented foods, you can too.
It's just that easy, folks.
It's just that easy. My insides are alive and leaning on the gates of the garden.
They are a steel drum.
And that's a Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds
Mostly
reference.
Because over the course of a month, I ate a steel drum.
I could eat metal. I bet.
You ever see that story about the guy who did eat metal?
No.
There was a story about a guy. He like exclusively ate metal. I'm sure it was a gimmick. But they did a, what is it? Is it an endoscopy when they go down your throat?
I think so.
They did an endoscopy on him to show that it was real. And like you saw the metal in his stomach. Like going at it.
Well.
Sitting on the lines of his stomach. Really gross. Really weird. But yeah, just like going into hardware stores, buying a bunch of nuts and bolts, then going out on the side of the road, just chalking them down.
Yeah, I'd eat nails and shit too, you know?
Yeah. Well, he did the thing.
Shitting
he ate
out
a razor blade. He ate a razor blade.
Yeah, that's fucking hardcore.
That seems like that'd be a great way to die.
Sure. But again, Rory, everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear. Now, what does everything, that mean for the guy that swallowed a razor blade?
Can I just be honest with you? Everything that I've ever wanted is on this side of fear. It's really not. Fear has never, like, stood in the way of me in a bag of potato chips.
That's fair.
Fear has, like, never stood in the way of me and, like, buying a graphics card. Like, oh no, I'm so afraid. Whatever will I do? Oh, I'm so afraid to buy this puppy. Oh, geez. See?
You should get a puppy.
I don't think so. That'll solve everything.
I think you should. I think you meet women.
Oh, shit again.
Yeah. Well, hey, there you go. See? More poop. Rory's bringing up poop again.
Well, that's what puppies do, okay?
Could have been pee.
It could have
been a vomit.
But I've already brought up pee as well on this episode.
But the pee thing isn't as weird to me. I've come around to the fact that if people are peeing on each other, that's the weirdest thing.
That's American, because they could be pooping.
Because they could be pooping.
I know.
In and on each
other. But that's also what I bring that up. I also think that's weird.
What, the pee?
Both.
Are they
in the shower together?
Not necessarily.
Are they holding hands?
Not necessarily. There's eye contact. Does that make you feel better about it?
A little bit, yes.
It's very intimate.
That makes me feel a little bit better. I just want to know that this is a special moment and not just something happening between two random people down at a Motel 6, say, for example, at 8:30 on Wednesday night.
Specific. I like it. Believable. Oh. I don't want to get peed on.
No.
But here's the thing. If it's Olivia Munn doing it, I have to seriously think about it, and let's be honest, probably will end up doing it.
How dehydrated is she?
She's not. She's a celebrity.
Has she been eating asparagus?
Absolutely not. She doesn't eat.
It's a normal pee.
Correct.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, just her pee probably is like cucumber water.
This isn't just a one-off with me and Olivia Munn, is it?
Most likely.
Oh.
You think you're going to satisfy her enough to come back for seconds? She's Olivia fucking Munn.
You don't know. What's she doing there slumming it with me in the first place?
Well, to be fair, she let John Mulaney put his festering seed inside.
I was like,
of
is she strapped to the chair or something? Because, like, how... On the one hand, like, she's deigning to be there. She's like, I'll pee on all comers. You there, boy. I'm like, first off, I'm in my 30s. She's like, what? Do you want this pee or don't you? And I'm like, okay, that's what I can get. That's the scenario?
The scenario is even better than that. You guys meet at a party and you're vibing and you take it upstairs and you're like, I can't believe I'm about to have sex with Olivia Munn.
She's like, yeah, but first I gotta pee all over you.
She gives you the meatloaf and the stop right there, and she goes, I need to pee. And you go, go right ahead, go freshen up.
She's like, no,
baby. And she goes, no.
So at this point, I notice that all the sheets are rubber and I get a little worried.
I've told that story on the podcast, haven't I?
I think you have, about the guy. I mean, it's been 100-something episodes, so.
Well, long story short, hear tell of a fella who was hooking up with a chick, got back to her place, and there was plastic all over her bed.
And you're like, this is a hit.
And I'm like, huh, interesting. And then they're taking off their clothes. They're rolling around in the plastic. He doesn't necessarily think it's that weird.
Just waiting to get my throat cut like Gone Girl.
And he's like, I'll take those odds. It's a way to go out. And that's a man after my own heart, because that's how I hope to die. Gone Girl was actually an erotic porn for me because of that. Anyway,
okay, go on.
A woman who ruins your life because she loves you so much.
It's great.
Top-notch stuff. So this guy's rolling around on the plastic bed with this woman. They're having a wonderful time. The real romp. And she looks at him and goes, do you trust me? What? Do you trust me? Yes. And without hesitation, she crams a bunch of anal beads up his ass.
Just what every guy wants.
And he just has to wait in some shock guys. As his asshole regains its shape. He just sits there like, oh. She grabs hold of the string and goes, 1, 2, 3, and lets loose the dogs of war, yanks those beads out of his ass. He shits all over the bed, just voids the entirety of his bowels.
Just the worst. This is the most worst imagery, by the way, that I can just.
Just a nightmare.
Just an awful fucking thing.
An absolute Farrelly Brothers movie nightmare. And he immediately is like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. She shoves him off the bed, jumps into the middle of the poo, starts rubbing it all over herself and making animal noises, rolling in his fessies like a horny pig. He immediately took his pants and ran out of there.
Oh, it's the worst.
And that was the tale of the guy whose name I can't say on the show.
See, now we've both brought up poo.
It's true.
There we go.
It's true. It's a poo episode.
I guess. Oh, it's better than the depressing shit we were
You
talking
bring
about.
It up on me. I bet you like fat girls because of all the time I talk about them. It's like sinking periods and stuff. It works.
I like girls with
that.
Pretty personalities, you chauvinist.
I like girls with pretty personalities.
Look at you, with your preference.
Their personalities are so big that their body had to expand to accommodate it all.
That's just want to be crushed by all that personality.
Oh, just smothered by veiny, white,
cankly personality.
Cottage cheesy personality.
That's beautiful.
I love how hard this fell apart at the end. It's honestly like, now I'm entertained by the show.
Great.
This is when I have fun.
I've just been depressed and tired this whole week. It's just been shitty. The markets ain't doing well. The world is shitty. Politics suck. People suck.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
No.
Okay. Well, neither do I. I'm out to sea without the Magoobies bit. It sucks. It really hurts. I got to find a new bit. So if you guys have a new bit you want me to do, keep it to yourselves. This is not about pleasing people. This is about getting some thoughts out to an ungrateful swine herd.
Jesus Christ.
So until next time, thank you. Go fuck yourselves. And goodbye.